Who's your Bay City welcome?
Amen. Why don't we give Jesus a big hand this morning? Come on, let's shout the roof down of this place. He's good. Come on, can you give him your praise this morning? Can you give him your shout this morning? He's good. He's good. He's so good. No matter what, Jesus is good. The Bible says he is good and his goodness endureth. It always sounds a bit more powerful when it's old King James. When it's just a King James version. His goodness endureth forever. Which means no matter what you're going through now, it's not forever. So his goodness is still on you. It's just happening through you till it comes to the fruition. I love the other scripture that says that the weapons shall be formed against us, but they shall not prosper. They will come, but they won't last. And friend, I just believed as we pray this morning, if that's you and you go, I just feel in that moment where I just need to hold on to the goodness of God that endureth forevereth, that the weapons might be here, but they will not last, and you have faith to believe that God is good, that everything's going to be okay as we pray. Actually, why don't we just all, if you would just raise your hands to King Jesus. It's an act of authority that says, God, you're of greater authority than I. And I also like the illustration of when my daughters want to come close to their daddy's heart, what do? They raise their hands and go, Daddy, pick me up. That's what we're doing this morning, if you're comfortable today. Father, I just thank you that you are good and your goodness does endure forever. And Father, I just proclaim now in faith that God, you are going to do incredible things in the next 30 minutes of this moment of time. I thank you that we're not here out of religious obligation, but Father God, we're here out of revelation. That God, you are good, that you can do amazing things. You have forgiven us. You have restored us. Father God, you have favored us. Father God, you have blessed us. And I just pray from the front to the back, from the left to the right, whether we know you personally and intimately or we're on that journey of obtaining that moment with you, that Father, you would do something in our world this morning. Thank you that God, you're no respecter of persons. You love us equally. I thank you that we didn't have to love you first, but your Bible tells us that we can love you because you first loved us. And no matter whether we know you or not this morning, we are loved by you. And I just pray as the word is spoken, our hearts would be open to be challenged and inspired to change to be more like you. Jesus, you are honored in this house this morning. And we thank you for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give him just one more hand of praise, church? He's good. He's good. Well, give your neighbor a high five, a hug, or what I used to say in my church, a pash, because I'm always helping a brother out. Just make sure it's appropriate that it is your wife or spouse. That would be awkward. Thank you, team. How good were they? They deserve a bit of a hand, a good hand. And can I say it's so good to be here with my friends Andrew and Marianne. Let's give your pastors a big hand this morning. They are much loved. And can I just, as a friend, I've preached here many years ago and I've been a friend of this house for the last 10 years since it started. I don't know if you guys think you saw our video yesterday. Happy 10th birthday, firstly. That's pretty cool. 10 years, and God is just doing so much. But can I say, your pastors are loved around the world. Loved around this nation and around the world. So keep looking after them. Or some of us are going to inspire them to come with us. Okay, so give me a wave. Do you love your pastors? Keep looking after them. Because if not, I'm going to steal them somehow. Because I need more people. But it is such an honor and privilege to be here at this church. I love this area. You are blessed to live in this area. I mean, you have good Greek food here. Not just Greek food. You have good Greek food here. You have water and bays and beautiful sunshine and almost as good as the Gold Coast. Almost as good. Although I'll be saying almost as good as Montreal that has a month of summer. Amen. And we will be enjoying that month. No, a bit more than that. We'll be giving it up for winter. Hey, so cool to be here. I want to get into the Word this morning. It's great to have my wife, Vanessa. My kids are in your kids program. And these people have been so good to us, and it's great to be. Who's ready for God to do something powerful in your life? I did hear this is a cheeky church, though, a naughty church. Is that true? We're not just quiet. We're okay with humor. We're okay with being a little bit naughty. Come on, give me a wave. Is that okay? Help a brother out. I don't say this one when my wife's here because I will be in trouble afterwards. But, hey, God, you know, just told me to do it, so I blame him. A couple came upon a wishing well. Very tragic story. The husband leaned over and made a wish and threw in a penny. The wife decided to make a wish too, but she leaned over too much, fell into the well and drowned. The husband was stunned for a while, but then smiled and said, "Wow, it really works." All righty, moving right along. That's the carnal side. I heard you were a naughty church. You're okay with that. Babe, you still, don't upgrade me. Keep me around for a bit longer, okay? I want to talk about living life high. I want to talk about living life high. Maybe not some of your past like mine, but talking about living from a higher perspective. The underlining could be becoming the bigger person, becoming the greater person. I want to talk about how God's called us to live from a bigger perspective. Is that okay? In the Bible, God has likened his people to many things. For example, there is described as being like branches on a vine. That was sort of me. I'd want to be a good branch, like a big tree, not one of those little wussy trees. I'm hoping when he talks about that, it's like a big, strong tree. He talks about trees by a river. Anything by the water is always good. Do I hear a good amen to that? A light on a hill, sheep. That's the one I'm still trying to figure out. I have a farm and sheep are stupid. So I'm hoping it's more that we need a shepherd than, you know, other connotations. That we're called to be salt, a racer in a race, a wrestler, a soldier, a warrior, and as our text today implies in Isaiah, an eagle. I want to use the analogy of an eagle on how to help us as Christ followers, those of you that are here this morning that have invited Christ into their life. Maybe you haven't this morning, and it's so cool to have you here. You're not judged, you're just accepted. It's just great to have you in the place. Maybe you've never heard much about Jesus, or maybe you've heard about God as the killjoy God that just wants to beat you up for everything you do wrong. Can I just say sorry if that's what you've heard? Because it's actually not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible, and maybe someone out of their own revelation or lack of, tried to preach what they thought was right, but the God of the Bible is love. The God of the Bible is forgiveness. Come on, somebody. The God of the Bible is acceptance. The God of the Bible wants to set you up, not bring you down. And so if you're here this morning and you haven't received Jesus into your world yet, haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior and being set free and have a vision and not having to live with the muck and the junk and the guilt and the shame, well, you'll be given an opportunity at the end. And for those of us that have, I want to remind you that God's not called you to live small. If you live small, the Bible actually says you chose it. But we're called to live large lives. Do you know that Jesus, so you got to love me this morning because the Bible says you have to. And I'm a missionary now, so you've got to love me even more. Come on, somebody. Do you know the Bible says that Jesus came with grace? Oh, I love you. That's what grace is. I forgive you. You're set up. Oh, it doesn't matter what you've done. You'll still be accepted. How cool is that? But truth says, I love you this much, and I'm going to slap you a bit to get you moving forward because I love you too much to leave you in your mess. So when Jesus came with grace, the lovey-dovey, yes, we are accepted, we are loved. He also came with the other side of clip on the back of the head in a nice way that says, don't stay there. I didn't invest this much into you to have you stay stupid. I've made idiot decisions before. Is anybody else? Come on, somebody. The Bible actually uses the word idiot in the Bible. We're not idiots, but we make idiot decisions sometimes. We're not stupid, we just make stupid decisions sometimes. And truth says, stop staying an idiot because I didn't create you that way. Stop staying in stupidity because I didn't create you that way. So that's why when the word is preached, it should always be, ah, and boom, ah, again. Because he came with grace and he came with truth. We're loved, but we don't want to stay the same. Come on, can I hear a good amen? Isaiah 40 verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak. Praise the Lord for that. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. What's that? It means no matter how good you are, you're not good enough. No matter how strong you are, you're not strong enough. No matter how smart you are, you're not smart enough. That's why we need Jesus. I love that, because he's no respecter of persons. Verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Everyone say eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love that scripture. Most of us know that scripture. So what does he mean by eagles? Well, I have some thoughts about it this morning. I want to talk about living from the perspective of an eagle, how it has clarity of vision, how it, the way living in days with this type of vision and perspective is paramount to a Christ follower. Do you know that you're a prototype and not a stereotype? Can I say it again? I was a stereotype. My dad left when I was young. Was a bit big around then when divorce in the communities that I was a part of. I was the latchkey kid. I had to work 6-7 days a week, so I had to let myself into my house. I was found out later that I was a what the world would call an abuse victim from an older guy that my family trusted. We were under the financial line, so we were poor. In the world's eyes, I was a stereotype. Maybe you felt like that sometimes. But in God's eyes, I was a prototype. I'm telling you, I'm the best Andrew Hoyes there is. I mean, I scored, but my wife, man, she got rewarded, not just, you know, going to be in heaven. She got rewarded on earth as well. Some people are going to get mansions in heaven because of, you know, what you have to put up with in earth. Vanessa, I mean, she's got the mansion on earth and in heaven, and so did I. Do I hear a good amen? But I say that to say you're a prototype. You were born for greatness. And if you're not living in it, you chose. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, praise the Lord, O my soul. It's David, who's one of my favorite men of God. Are you still with me this morning? All my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits. David speaking to his spirit. Hey, it's not, I might feel like I sucketh at the moment, but God doesn't see me as a sucker. He doesn't see me as a loser. I've got to keep remembering his benefits. I keep remembering that it's not him that I'm here. I've got to keep remembering that he wants to get me out of this. And he spoke to his spirit, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So I want to encourage you today why God tells us to mount up on wings like eagles. He wants you to succeed. Oh, but wait, brother, pastor, whatever you want to call me, We're called to be poor. Where did you get that from? Now, I might be poor right now. I'm not. But if I was, that's not the label for me. Well, I just got the poor stick when I was born. That's just my lot in life when someone else is called to be successful. Now, I might be poor right now, but I'm not carrying a poor spirit. You might be under that line at the moment, but you're not going to live there with everybody else and have a holy huddle. You might be there in the moment, but with your mindset and faith, you're walking and relocating yourself over here because you understand you're called to be successful. But the thing about success is we measure it with the person next to us instead of measuring it against who God is. Because my form of success is so different to his form of success. My form of prospering is so different to somebody else's form of prospering. But when I can get what God's is for me, I can live in that prototype understanding that God has called me to live with greatness because I'm made in the image and likeness of a creative, successful, prosperous God. Therefore, I find my place in that and things begin to happen. We're called to prosper and to live with our God-ordained and at birth given authority. You were born, boom, my authority's on you if you take it. See, forgiveness is on us if we receive it. Favor's on us if we receive it. Blessing is on us if we receive it. Come on, somebody. But we've got to choose to receive it and go, God, yes, we have friendship because I receive it, not because he just gave it. He could give as much friendship, blessing, favor as he wants to, but until I receive it, there's no blessing. There's no friendship. God is always giving out. See, here's a few thoughts on eagles. Can you give me a wave? You want to hear a few thoughts on eagles this morning? One hand, cool. All right, let's keep moving forward. You're so into this, I know. First thought is eagles have great vision. They have a higher way of thinking. Do you know the bald eagle is the fastest creature in the air? Not only can the eagle fly at tremendous speed, but the eagle's eyesight is unlike any other. At an elevation of 10,000 feet or 2 miles, the eagle can see a rabbit in a forest, and within a matter of seconds, that eagle can fall out of the sky at a rate of over 100 miles per hour and snatch that rabbit up. Poor little rabbit. If you've ever happened to see an eagle sitting high above the tree or cliff of a steep mountain, watch closely and see how attentive the bird is. His body sits still and his head will be lifted side to side to observe what is happening below, around and above him. Even if it's flying close by, you can observe how keen its eyes are looking for its prey. You see, eagles have a keen vision. Their eyes are specifically designed for long-distance focus and clarity. Jesus has given us long-distance focus and clarity. Do you know what that is? It's the book of Revelation. It's the cross of Calvary. I have overcome, he says. So no matter what you're dealing with, we already know that our King of Kings has overcome and that we have a place in eternity for us to be able to exist with him. He's already given us a long-term vision that we can lock onto and have clarity, so that even though there might be fire and mess and junk right now, we can keep moving forward because we've locked in. Come on, somebody. They can spot another eagle. I love this thought, soaring from 50 miles away. Why do certain people cluster together? Like negative people. I know it's an oldie, but it's a goodie. Some people are so negative. Put them in a dark room and they develop. Only people that are older than 30 will probably get that one. Because we don't have dark rooms anymore. Probably. But the thing is, negative people, I'm sorry if you're negative, I ain't hanging with you. Well, there's nothing fun about you. I live for fun. Does anyone else live for fun? I mean, Jesus was fun. He went in and wrecked parties. Come on, somebody. He went in and destroyed temples, told them off. I mean, he was the ministry of fun. People get saved and all of a sudden the ministry of fun becomes the ministry of boring. I prefer to go to unchurch parties than Christian parties most times. Because half of the Christian parties, not all of them. I mean, he throws a good party. And if you aren't volunteering by the end of this service, go and quickly volunteer in something so then you can come to that party. Because that's the party you'll want to be at. I want to be in the party. I have a vision that I don't want to live boring. But when you cluster, you see, I love that eagles, they can see like-minded from 50 miles away. Have great vision. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I love that. When you tap into his vision and his thinking, you get his thoughts for your life, not yours. And what I've learned in 39 years of life is his thoughts are always better than my thoughts. His vision is always better than my vision. Second thought this morning is that eagles are thrivers, not survivors. Don't just be a survivor. So I get told, well, you're an abuse survivor. I go, no, I am a kingdom thriver, man. It's a part of, see, I believe everyone has a form of mess. No matter what you do in life, you could be in the most perfect family, there'll be still some mess. Come on, can I have a wave of hands or something? But what God does, that's why you're not called to look at, oh, theirs is worse than mine, or theirs is better than mine, or so on and so forth. There's always going to be mess. But God with mess, with age, when you allow him to, becomes a message. So I could even look at my abuse. My abuse was pretty minor compared to most, but it still was what it was. So I'm not there to work at whose is worse, whose is better, how this or that or whatever, and how to make it more, you know, more emotional when I share about it. It just is what it is. It's part of my message. But I'm not a just getting by. Man, I'm using that to kick the devil in the head. Over 20 years, the amount of young men that have found Jesus and got that side of their life sorted because I was able to get up and share about it. What was broken, what was in the dark, what was painful, then became something that became powerful. But I wasn't just surviving because of that. I'm just getting ahead. Man, I have a great life. God has been good to me. I'm not just surviving. Man, you can survive, and I pray you don't, but I'm going to thrive. You see, the eagle doesn't just get by, he thrives. And it's not just because of this, that, it's because he's power of choice. Just like money, I teach people, and I say this, I sometimes get in trouble, but I love money because I love the power of choice. And money, all it is the power of choice. So instead of going, I could choose the Big Mac, and as you can see, I've chosen a few over the years. Working on that one, trying the shake instead at the moment. Somebody might go and buy a fancy car and they have to live in it because that's all they own. Whereas somebody else goes and buys assets that develop over time, and because of that, they can sponsor children in Africa and Thailand and other places. And their power of choice for the love of what God has given them, the revelation of prosperity. I love Jesus, but money's a tool. You're hearing what I'm saying? I do it to shock, to get everyone, hang on, what are you talking about? Because God gave us the power of choice. And I love choice. I love buffets. Come on, anyone else love buffets? Why do we love buffets? Because of choice. You see, eagles are thrivers, not survivors. I love the power of choice. Third thought is eagles fly face on into the storm. Unlike most animals, eagles do very well in storms. For instance, most animals seek out a place to hide during a storm, not the eagle. The eagle actually challenges a storm. He will fly right into the midst of a storm and look up to where he last saw the sun. Have a think about that for a second. The clouds, the lightning. Actually, that was more of a gunshot. Sorry about that. The loud thunder won't distract him. Why? Because he had his bearings set upon the sun. And when the storm becomes intense, as it will sometimes, that's when the eagle mounts up and flies right to where he last saw the sun. So if he gets off focus, he just keeps going back to where he put his target on, the sun. All of a sudden, he breaks through the storm and the sun is drying his feathers and the sun is giving him a new anointing. It's an oil that's on his body that gives him an anointing to break through. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm not sure if you read your Bible lately, but it talks about an anointing that comes on us through the Holy Spirit that helps us to break through when our eyes are on Him. If you're going through the crap, the junk, the mess, the rubbish, the whatever it is, just keep your eyes on the sun. Pray for that anointing of breakthrough. Because if He could do it for an eagle, come on somebody, He can do it for His favorites. Amen. The eagle is the only creature with the ability to look directly into the rays of the sun. God designed the eagle with special eyelids so that he may keep his eyes towards the sun. Friend, he's given you special eyes to see him when other people can't. He's given you special eyes to be able to lock onto him when you're going through the fire. Come on, somebody, don't give up. Like one of my heroes, Winston Churchill, said, when you're walking through the fire, don't stop. Just keep moving forward. Fourth thought, is this helping anyone here this morning? Is that eagles only eat live foods, not dead foods. They eat on fresh meat. Quick analogy with this, stop eating dead things. Friend, that person that's always got a rumor about somebody, kick him to the curb in Jesus' name. Forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is not about that person. It's about me. That person is going on doing whatever they want, and I'm the one locked up. It's not until I forgive and let go that I become released. When you're always looking at what you don't have and why that person's done this, I had people come into my church 10 years ago going, oh, so great you've come. Oh, I've got these scars of the other churches I've been in, and that pastor, he was so mean and beat me up. And not literally, but with the word, and they didn't have fresh coffee like you have, and they didn't have this. And my first response was, so great to have you here, but hey, look at this. Just have a think, if I was Jesus, where are his scars? Do you reckon your scars come anywhere close to into comparison? In Jesus' name, in a really nice way, just shut up and be a Christian. I'm not saying that to you. I say that to Gold Coast because they need a bit of help. Here, you guys are good. But seriously, I love gossip. I love rumor. I love trash because it builds the old man in me and he wants to rise. But I run from it now. And if people that are, what I've found is people who live in that never get out of it. They're lonely, living in a caravan park. If you live in one, that's fantastic. I actually live in one at the moment, so air pound. We've rented all our places out, and we're just doing that before we go. So, but I don't want to be there when I'm 85 because I've made some dumb decisions. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Grace, truth. Got to love me. Don't eat dead foods. Get rid of those people. And if people start getting rid of you, make a decision. Forgive, high five, and say, I have a problem to somebody. Start talking live foods. Stop eating packaged foods. Hearing what I'm saying? Start eating your greens. This is good. Even I'm loving it. All right. Number five. I'm almost done. Number five is eagles have many enemies. So the inverted brackets is, so suck it up, princess. I have four daughters. I say, cowgirl up. If you're going to be successful, people aren't going to like you. If you were born attractive to the world, either physically, if you've met my wife, she's one of them, either personality-wise, either wherever you put your hands to, it succeeds, you're always going to have enemies. Just smile and go, thank you, because I know I'm God's favorite. Now, we're not in ones, because I talk to my daughters, I don't have a favorite because they're all my favorites. Come on, somebody. And we're the same with God. Of course I don't have favorites. You're all my favorites. So that's why I'm God's favorite, because I'm one of his. So people come, I've got blogs and everything against me still and saying dumb stuff. I just laugh and go, oh, it's okay because I'm God's favorite. And they need a revelation of love and grace because they're obviously very hurting at the moment. If you're going to do something good, you're going to have enemies. Eagles have enemies. The sixth thought is eagles build their nests on high places, not in low places. Live up high, don't live down low. The seventh thought is eagles choose the right partners in life. Bible says, hang around wise people, you'll be wise. Hang around dumb people, you'll be dumb. Andrew Hoy's translation, but pretty much means the same thing. I can tell your future by the people you hang out with. You can tell my future by the people I hang out with. That's why I hang out with him. You'd be smart to come under his leadership. You know, leadership's not abusive. Can I just say, as a pastor, we don't have to do this. We go into God for this. We do it out of love. But when you can see, I don't have to agree. I mean, my wife doesn't agree with everything about me. I know it's hard to understand, and I can see why you're shocked. But you know, the most things we go, but we have common denominators on these things. The other things we can work out. If I was in this church, I'm sure I wouldn't agree with everything. I might like red instead of blue. I don't want to find things, but I'm sure there's things that I would choose because I'm different, because we're all different. But the things that matter the most, I'd come under and go, this is where I want to flourish and grow. Just choose to come under the right things. Find the right partners in life. Because my last thought is this, as the band comes up, is that eagles are able to reinvent themselves and become reborn. To an eagle, when it gets to a certain point in its life, about the age of 40, can you just give me a wave? You still with me tonight, today? I'm not sure where I am because I'm still working things out since traveling a bit. Is at the age of 40, they're all old and crusty. It's true. Their beak's crusty. Their talons are crusty. Their feathers are heavy. You might feel a little bit crusty at the moment. That's okay because you're in the greatest position for a reinvention, a reorientation, or a rebirth. What they do is they have two choices, to shrivel up and die and get taken over by their enemies, or they choose to become reborn. But it's a painful process of change. First thing they do is they scrape their beak off, literally rip their beak out. Do you know what that represents to me? Is they shut up for a while. Can I use that word here? It's okay, we're big people. It's like God gives them a new mouth. Then when that beak grows back, fresher, brand new, brilliant for a new season, it begins to rip its talons out, its feet. What I think that represents is it starts to look at where it's going to prosper next. Where is it going to put its feet? Because the Bible said that where you put your feet down, you possess. What's the next level of possession? Then what it does is it begins to pluck its feathers out. And it looks like a turkey for a while. I'm not sure about you, but I've looked like a turkey at different times. Come on, serious moment. I've felt humiliated. I felt like a turkey a few times. But you know what happens is a new anointing comes on. The oil that was created within it starts to touch its body and its feathers grow back. And once its feathers grow back, it becomes reborn and lives another 30 plus years. I believe this morning, you know, some of you are going to be baptized. And that's what that's really what's happening. You got old and crusty with the world. You found Jesus, found that there was this opportunity to be reborn. And then the last bit of the anointing process is to jump into this water. And like the illustration is that the dirt of the past is washed away and you come back out brand new. Now, there might be 9 people or so that have signed up for that. I believe there are some people here that might do a spontaneous baptism this morning. Because you know what? Who cares? I felt like a turkey before. It's time to not be a turkey anymore. It's time for me to have a reborn experience. To firstly accept Jesus, if you haven't already, I'm going to give you that opportunity in a moment. But secondly, to allow the anointing of God to touch your life. And then we'll find towels or whatever to help you. But this could be a moment where you just go, this is my all-in. Maybe you love Jesus, you've been in church your whole life, but you've been away from Him for whatever reason. It's time to show God and others, I'm all-in. Because the eagle gets a new life and gets a new season. Friend, that's for us spiritually, but can I also encourage some people here this morning, that's for you in the natural as well. You might have had a broken relationship, and you've never been truly reborn from that to reinvent to the next season. Maybe business, bankruptcy, things have happened and you're feeling like a failure and you don't realize that God can bring a new anointing on you to see that's $1 million now that I know what not to do in mistakes in. I'm $1 million richer in wisdom than I was before those bad decisions. That now I'm wiser and step up into a new season. And I just believe real quick, before I pray for people to encounter Jesus, if you go, I need a reinvention, a rebirth in the sense of your walk with Christ into a new season, for maybe some of those things that I've spoken about, I just want you to quickly stand. We'll only take the first person to go. I just want a transference to go. I want to step into a new season. I need God's help to step up and to be reborn into something fresh, to get rid of old thinking, to get rid of some of that stuff. I got a bit crusty in some areas. Quickly, friend, if that's you, I would love to pray for you. Thank you. Always honor, especially the first person that stands. And the rest, don't feel like you can't stand now. If there's anybody else, I got 3 seconds. So if you need to join them, you need to do it now. 1, 2, 3. You know who you are. I'm just going to pray. Father, I just thank you that God, these incredible people that have said, God, I need a reinvention. I need a rebirth of even their walk with you. Whether it's mindsets, a broken relationship, things that are holding them to their past. Father God, I just pray while they have breath.